Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Well, what is trust? How do you trust someone? Who do you ask? How do you find out? The best way to find out if you can trust someone is to trust them. Ernest Hemingway, author. You can only earn trust through dependable performance. Day after day after day after day. Bill Belichick, New England Patriots head coach. I'm suspicious of people who don't like dogs, but I trust a dog that doesn't like a person. Bill Murray, comedian and actor. Trust, but verify. Ronald Reagan, 40th President of the United States. Trust the process. Sam Hinkie, Philadelphia 76ers basketball executive. I don't trust what this life has given me. Dennis Rodman, NBA basketball player. Trust must be rebuilt over time. Trust requires a track record. Rick Warren, the Purpose-Driven Life author. Trust is hard to come by. That's why my circle is small and tight. I'm kind of funny about making new friends. Eminem, rapper. Deciding whether or not to trust a person is like deciding whether or not to climb a tree, because you might get a wonderful view from the highest branch, or you might simply get covered in sap. And for this reason, many people choose to spend their time alone and indoors where it's harder to get a splinter. Lemony Snicket, author of The Series of Unfortunate Events. Sometimes you don't know who you can and cannot trust. I still learn that over and over again. Demi Lovato, singer. You can't trust anybody with power. Newt Gingrich, American politician. I trust no one, not even myself. Joseph Stalin, General Secretary of the Communist Party of Russia. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. It's easy to say you believe a rope to be strong and sound as long as you are merely using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? C.S. Lewis, author, in his book A Grief Observed. It's good to trust others, but not to do so is much better. Benito Mussolini, Prime Minister of Italy. Never trust anything that can think for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brain. J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter. And finally, all the world is made of faith and trust and pixie dust. J.M. Barrie, author of Peter Pan. If you've been experiencing the past few months, as I have, you've been asking the same question. What is trust? Who do I trust during this circumstance? Which data about COVID-19 is trustworthy? Which friend's information on Facebook do I trust without a matter of doubt? I could share it without even thinking twice about it. Who is responsible for starting the looting in this riot or that? Who do I trust? Whose story do I trust about this situation or that? Who do you trust when everything is questioned? Well, if you ask the people, the popular voices of today and yesterday, you'll get some wildly varying answers, you know. Trust but verify. Don't trust anybody with power. You know, avoid the people with power. Or trust but, you know, make sure that you're only trusting your friends. Or as J.M. Barrie will say, all the world is just faith, trust, and pixie dust. It doesn't really matter. But God's word has a lot to say to us about trust. And today, that's what we're going to be looking at in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. So I invite you to turn there with me as we read this. It says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Let's pray. God, we thank you that in a time of uncertainty that your word provides clarity. We thank you that when we are confused, you have answers, Lord, and that we can always turn to you. And I pray that as we hear from your word today, that we would just be comforted by the almighty sovereignty of you, God, that you are in control of all things, and you are for us. And if you are for us, who can be against us, Father? We trust in you this morning. We are excited to hear from your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you have been on a computer or phone and you've been scrolling through Facebook, or you're checking the news, or you're seeing how your favorite sports team has been doing the past week, or you're messaging this friend or that, and all of a sudden there's this blinking light in the corner and you try to ignore it, but it's really bright and there's stars coming out of it. It's a little box, and you look over to the right on your screen and it says, "Congratulations, you have been chosen to win a free iPad." And so you get excited and you go click that link and you enter in your shipping information, put in your credit card to pay the $2 for shipping, and 3 days later that new iPad is on your front door because you were chosen. That's how it goes, right? Who's had an experience just like that? Nobody. You haven't won a free iPad, and most likely you just want a free opportunity to give your information over to some hackers or something, or, you just got scammed. That's how it was. And that's an everyday occurrence when you're online, when you see those internet banners. And it's no wonder that our generation today is some of the most distrusting it's ever been in our nation's history. There's an article by Pew Research about a year ago that said that of those 50 or older that were polled, 40%, 2 out of every 5 people said that most people can't be trusted. So 40% of those 50 or older, but they polled 29 or younger, those 29 or younger, and they said that 60% of them said that most people can't be trusted. 3 out of every 5 people, and I'm guessing that number will just keep on going up. And in this distrusting society, it's funny that in a time like COVID-19, we find us all scrambling to find things we can trust. And we hear it all the time. I get messages, I feel like every day, on Facebook saying, "Watch this video, see this article, see what this person has to say. You can trust what this person is saying about this topic." I mean, we're scrambling, trying to find something to hold on to. There's so much uncertainty. I'm going to have a really big struggle with the wind today. And in the time of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17, the people of Israel were scrambling to trust in many different things. They were surrounded on every side by 3 superpowers, Assyria and Babylon and Egypt. And they had forsaken God, and they had gone to trust in other gods and things that were worthless and had no value. And because of that, the imminent invasion of Babylon was coming, and we see that further on in the Old Testament. But Jeremiah says to them, after preaching against their sin, he's talking about the root of the problem. He says in verse 5 of chapter 17, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." Did you catch that? To trust in something other than the Lord, Jeremiah says, is the same as turning your heart away from the Lord. To put your trust in something other than God is the same as turning your heart away from him. And God is telling us in Jeremiah 17, don't put your trust in man. It says you will be cursed if you put your trust in man. Not just that you're going to lose your way a little bit off the path, but no, you have serious negative consequences coming for you when you trust in something other than God. He says you will be like a shrub in the desert. A shrub in the desert is unsustainable. It will dry up and die without water. He says that you shall not see any good, that you will dwell in the parched places in an uninhabited salt land. I don't know what an uninhabited salt land is, but I'm sure it's not a nice place, a place where we just get dried up, we run aground. And God is saying in Jeremiah chapter 17, in this season where we're scrambling, where we're trying to find something to hold on to put our weight onto, don't trust in man. Man is going to let you down. Man is going to disappoint you. The news are going to let you down every day. But God is worthy of our trust. And so that begs the question, how do you know what you're trusting in? When do you find out what you're leaning on? When do you find out what your weight is being supported by? It's usually when that thing gets knocked out from under you. Whatever you were leaning on gets moved. When you're in need, when you're facing a difficulty, when you have a trial. I had a rupture in my appendix like 2 months ago now. And the second day when I was sitting at home and I still had pain in my stomach, I thought it's probably time to go to the hospital. Things aren't turning the way they usually do after a stomach ache. But I went to the doctor because I trusted in my uncertainty and my confusion that they would be able to give me answers that I did not know. And as I was recovering from surgery and my body wasn't functioning the way that it normally does, I asked the nurses and doctors again those same questions because I knew that they could provide the answers that I was looking for, because that's what they're good at, right? That's why I went to them. And when your life takes a turn that you didn't expect, when you're in need, when you lose your job, when your family member's sick, when you're trying to move to a new house and nothing's showing up, when you have health issues, where do you turn first? Where do you turn first? Where do you find your stability and security? See, these times during the coronavirus and everything going on have revealed a lot where people's trust lies. It relies in man. Man. And it says, cursed are those who trust in man, who make flesh their strength. You're like a dry shrub in the desert, and people are just yearning for something to lean onto, something to cling to. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And D.L. Moody, a preacher from the late 1800s who founded the Moody Bible Institute where Pastor Chad went, in Chicago, he said this about trust. He said, trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappoint. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken from you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. Put not your trust in man. Does that mean we never, ever trust anybody, that we're skeptical at all times? No, we got to trust our friends and our family, right? But who are we leaning on? Who are we resting on? Who is our stability and foundation? During this pandemic, there's been plenty of weird shortages. You remember the toilet paper all going away at the beginning? And recently, I read about a new shortage, is that coins are running out, that we're running short on coins. So I brought some here just in case any of you guys were worried, and I have a jar of them at home. So if you're in need of a coin in dire need, we have plenty to spare if you need a quarter. But I was looking at these coins, and they all have something exactly in common, all four of them. I have a penny, I have a nickel, I have a quarter, I have a dime. You can't really see them, so I won't hold them up. But they all have different faces on them. They're all different sizes. They all have, I don't know, different dates on mine. But something that's all similar about them, except that they're all circles, I realize that, is that they all say, in God we trust. All four of them have the inscription right on the top that says, in God we trust. Did you ever wonder where that came from? Well, in 1864, when the Civil War brought a return of Christian sentiment to the nation, the words were first added to new coins. And at that time, there was much concern for our nation, and many appeals came in to the government to recognize God's role in the history of our nation. And these appeals spoke directly to the heart of the then Secretary of Treasury in a letter that that reads like this. It says, "Dear Sir, no nation can be strong except in God, in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins." And the Secretary of Treasury was on board of this, but actually took 90 years for this to become a law. And Dwight D. Eisenhower signed it in 1955, and that's why all of our currency has that motto, "In God we trust." And I don't know if that is entirely true about our nation as a whole, that we're all trusting in God. A lot of people are trusting in many things. But if you had a motto of your life, if your face was on a coin, who would it say that you trusted in? Would say, "In God I trust," or as a church here at Good Shepherd, "In God we trust," or is it something else? God wants it to be Him. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 now, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." You love that? I love that. Whose trust is the Lord. Not just that God is one of the things that you're trusting in, but God is your trust. To not have trust is to not have God. God is your trust. Verse 8, "He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Notice the stark contrast between the two people. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, but blessed is the man who trusts in God. Cursed is the man who makes flesh his strength, but we knew that God renews our strength so that we can soar like the wings with the wings of eagles, that we shall run and not grow weary, that we shall walk and not faint. It says in verse 6 that those who trust in man are like a shrub in the desert, but in verse 7, that those who trust in God are like a tree planted by the water. Those who trust in man shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land, but those who trust in God are by the stream. They do not fear heat. They remain green and are not anxious in the year of drought, and does not cease to bear fruit. What a difference. What a difference between trusting in man and trusting in God. God is trustworthy. You can rest in Him. You can put your weight on God. You want more proof from Scripture? It has it all over the Bible. Isaiah 43:2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze." Psalm 91:1-2, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 121:3, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches you will not slumber." Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not much more value than they?" Psalm 56:4, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Do you trust in God? Is He trustworthy? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. You can put your trust in Him. No matter the circumstance, in the fire, in the water, you will not be burned. You can be in complete security in Him. Well, you might say, yeah, the Bible's great. Those are great words on a piece of paper. But when the rubber really meets the road, I need to listen to this person or that, you know. When real life happens, and those are some great promises, but I need to look elsewhere to find my trust. You know, sure, I remember when God provided a new home for me, but that could have just been coincidence that it came on the market right at the right time. You know, I remember when I was praying and praying for healing for this person, and it happened, but that could have just been, you know, the doctors. They went to school for that, right? And you trusted that God would provide enough money for you in that one season when you needed just $100 and that check came in the mail just the right time. But couldn't that have just been chance? Sure, I suppose you could think that way. But there's one need that we have that cannot possibly be explained away. It's impossible to be explained away. And that's that you and I are sinners. We have broken God's holy law. God is perfect in heaven, and he has set forth his law that we should know it, and we have broken them. And that breaks God's heart. And our need is that we need a Savior to come and rescue us. That's our greatest need. And what happened in that time? God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, his only Son. And he came and he lived a perfect life that we could not. And he died a brutal death that we deserved. He took the full payment that we had to pay for our sin, our need. And he took that to the cross and paid it in full for you and for me. But it didn't stay there. Jesus rose from the dead and he defeated death. He rose again from the dead and he ascended into heaven. And that cannot be explained by chance. That cannot be explained by coincidence. No doctor can raise someone from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive, and he lives to intercede for you and for me at the foot of the cross. We can trust in God because he has proven his trustworthiness through sending his Son for you and for me. As we read earlier in John 14, verses 1 through 6, says, don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So where is your trust today? What are you trusting in as all around us is being shaken, as things are hard to understand? Where do you trust? And maybe you've never put your trust in Christ today and you're still questioning, still wondering if God really loves you. And guess what? He does. He loves you so much that he sent his Son. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if you repent of your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus said to the criminal on the cross when he repented of his sin, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. So we know at our last breath, when we are in Christ, we have an eternal hope in heaven when we trust in God. So I plead with you this morning to repent and turn to him. He loves you. And maybe today you already trust in Christ, but like the people of Israel in Jeremiah's time, you've been turning away to scramble and search after so many different things, so many links, so many articles, so many people you're asking during this time, and you feel like you're spinning and spinning and spinning, and God is just saying today, just stop and rest in me. Trust in me. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. Repent of your distrust. And God says that times of refreshing will come to your souls. That sounds so sweet. Times of refreshing and renewal. So who can you trust? God. God Almighty, the King of the universe. He is alone worthy of our praise. As I invite the worship team up, we're going to close by reading Psalm 146, verses 3 through 10. It says, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord, is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord." Let's pray. God, I pray that we would trust in you, Father. Nowhere else, nothing else will do. Everything else lets us down. It disappoints. But you alone, Lord, are worthy of our trust. You're trustworthy. And I pray for those this morning who might not know you, God, that you would bring about change in their heart by your Spirit, Lord, that you would bring them to repentance, that they could know you and your Son. And for those of us who have been trusting in so many other things and just scrambling all over the place, Lord, help us to find our rest in you alone. Help us to trust in you alone, Lord, and know that you are God, we are not, and we can rest as your children, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.